Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. Winner of the inaugural Sculpture Shock Prize of the Royal Society of British Sculptors, London-born and raised Amy Sharrocks talks about her love of her hometown and how much she enjoys sharing discoveries with fellow walkers and swimmers. One could argue that she's infatuated with water, not just consuming the stuff, but swimming her way across London. But in truth, her interests are in journeying, by whatever means, as long as the mode provides the traveller with time to contemplate and daydream. In this episode, recorded on the eve of the selection of the Sculpture Shock winner in November 2012, Amy talks about the range of her work and how she sees live art as a clear way in which we humans sculpt our everyday urban lives. Through your practice, where does walking fit in?
Well, journeys are kind of central. That thing of moving together, whether it's walking or swimming or boating or whatever the movement might be, I think moving unlocks a part of your thinking, and then it's easier to talk and think and make connections. And walking, more than other things, it's the easiest to access, you know. It's easiest to invite people onto a walk than it is onto a boat or a train or a swimming pool. You can get everybody everywhere, but actually it's easiest to invite them for a walk. And I like very much this taking a human measure of a city, with your pacing it out with your own stride, somehow suddenly measures the city by your size and your foot and your pace. So I like the politics of walking, of pacing out your city, seems a really wonderful invitation to start from.
Conversations make up a key part of your practice. How's that come about?
I'm interested in people. So the conversation, you know, it's I'm not putting on any kind of any persona or any performance with any piece. What I'm interested in is what we can learn together, what we can share, what other people know, what we can know as a group if we talk. This kind of collective consciousness of finding out about people. And so it's whatever anybody brings to the piece that makes the piece. There's no script ever. There may be questions that I've formulated, but it's really about where we might go with the conversation. It's always open-ended. It's always, we just talk together to discover whatever we can. There's this really nice quote by Luis Sotelo, who talks about subjectivity in action in space. And I really like that. It's about what makes us us, our subjectivity, but moving and in the space that we're in this city, in this world, in whatever the space that we're making the artwork in.
Now, another constant theme is water, So we're going to be splashing about in the water very shortly, but I first came across you when you were seeking out lost rivers in London. Do you want to talk first about that?
I have lived in London all my life. I grew up in Camden, and so to discover that actually London has all these rivers that are simply gone or unseeable now, that they've just sort of submerged them underneath the streets for whatever reason. As the modern city has grown up, it sort of engulfed all this water and just sort of damped it down. It was really shocking to me that actually London is this river city. And if you go to the Museum of London, they have this mock-up picture of what it looked like in Roman times, and it's mainly water. And so thinking what that does to your psyche, to have pushed away all this water, to have changed your landscape so completely.
About Vicky Sweetlove, who was a dowser, did you look out for her or did she find you? And perhaps you can explain a little bit about what took place on a walk with a dowser.
Yeah. Well, I rang up the British Society of Dowsers and I described the kind of dowsing that I was hoping to do, group dowsing while walking. And they gave me a list of three names, and one of which was Vicky Sweetlove. And with a name like that, it was difficult to consider either of the others. We came and met with an artist, a great friend of mine, called Ana Laura Lopez de la Torre, a brilliant Uruguayan artist. She was doing lots of work in about the night time. And I was doing a lot of work around the river walk, so we decided to do a river walk at night together as a collaboration, and we invited Vicky to come. She came over to the studio once to meet us. She explained about dowsing and she showed us how she would douse, and then we organised this big group evening event, and Vicky came and showed us how to douse. But we rehearsed everybody kind of walking together as a group. It was very interesting, a kind of trying to walk together instead of stretching out as you walk, as you kind of is more usual. We rehearsed people walking together as a kind of clump, and it was really terrific walking through Peckham streets at night. We would sort of scare people doing drug deals in bushes. It was funny, where we were the kind of mass of people that was slightly a worry to other people, when in fact we couldn't have been more safe.
And you did a walk around the River Neckinger.
So we went from Peckham Library up to the wharves just below Tower Bridge onto the Downing Street moorings. So I rang them up and asked if we could actually get onto a boat. So they have a marvellous meeting boat that's purely for open air meetings. So they we went straight onto the river to end the walk. It was a wonderful walk down through the kind of ended in these kind of back streets around Fagin's London. So it was wonderful.
Everyone was dousing or only Vicky?
On that one, it was just Vicky. And that was something that evolved. The first, I think, three, she doused. And then me and Vicky talked about it, and we wanted everyone to douse, and I hadn't realised it would be possible. She was like, yeah, we can give everyone dowsing rods. So after that, everyone, 10, 15 people each time, would hold rods and would douse the river together. So then it was a really extraordinary... felt suddenly it all came together then, when everybody had a chance to sort of feel the pull of the water, and you'd be crossing the street, you'd be crossing Farringdon Road, and suddenly 15 rods would turn left, and you'd suddenly become very aware of a huge mass of water flowing underneath your feet or through your city right where you were. So you really got a sort of rush of feeling that something beyond your knowledge.
And water is pretty much a theme in much of your practice, so...
Has been, yes.
I almost had to don a swimming costume to come and interview you, so perhaps you could explain why I needed the swimming costume. No.
I think you're disappointed not to have been forced to wear it.
I'm not wearing it. But so you actually swam across London with 50 with 50 people. Now, how did that
I put out
about?
An invitation to swim across London, and... people were longing to do it. It was based on this short story by John Cheever called The Swimmer, which was then made into a film with Burt Lancaster. And it's this sort of extraordinary moment, sort of on the edge of on the cusp of the end of the American dream, where things are kind of falling apart, slipping through someone's fingers as he tries to swim home, his life kind of unravels. But this dream of swimming across London through, you know, connecting as much of the blue across this brown city. This dream was really, really viable for our city. So I set it up that 50 people would swim. I feel also, you know, why should it just be one? I think this is a kind of open invitation for everyone to join in. So 50 people running through the streets in swimming costumes, diving into doing one length of each pool or lake or lido, jumping out the other side, running through the streets, dripping wet, back onto this route master bus that we bust between the pools as much as possible in order to be able to make the route across our metropolis.
And you start at what time of the day?
Started at 5:30 at Tooting Bec Lido, and there was this kind of scary moment at sort of 4:30 as we picked up a few people on the way from various sort of housing estates across London to get to Tooting, because I live north. There was this sort of worry of, will anyone else be there at 5:30 in the morning? But everybody was. I think everybody had the same concern. But people had come from miles away. We had an osteopath come from Hertfordshire. We had a Baroque violinist from South London. You know, people had come from all over. People had bussed it to sleep on floors from out of town, to sleep on their brother's floors the night before to be able to get up at 4:30 to come on this journey. It was an extraordinary day, I think, for everybody concerned.
And beyond that, beyond the swimming as well, you've got people to sit and drift.
I toured across England. It's basically a piece where I float a boat on a swimming pool But that could also be a kind of pond or a lake, or I did it on the River Thames as well. But it was conceived for a swimming pool where it's kind of incongruous. You have a boat on a pool, it's a journey, but you're going nowhere. It's a kind of poor woman's Ellen MacArthur, always stuck in a pool, never making the actual journey beyond the confines. On the drift, on this kind of bobbing up and down, you have to really fight with yourself not to push off from the side of the pool, not to be the engine. It's really difficult to just let go and manage the fact that you may not get further than a foot from the side of the pool over the whole of the drift. So you have to bear that passivity while being in constant movement of this bobbing up and down and this kind of feeling the flux of the water all around you. And this stepping off dry land and changing your sense of gravity seemed a very important offer to people. It's an unusual situation. People aren't used to it, and it allows time to daydream, which is a crucial time, I think, that gets a very negative connotations these days. Daydreaming is, people are always telling you to stop daydreaming in school and stop, you know, listen up, do what they want. And actually, I think allowing time for daydreaming is a crucial part of life and sort of future plans.
What more will we see more walking or more swimming?
Well, swim was really an extraordinary piece for me. Most people who came on the day, they've written me extraordinary responses to the piece, and it really seemed to change our idea of London, or our experience of London. So I really wanted, there's another piece that I wanted to do, which is to swim the Thames, which is the only piece of water, stretch of water, that we couldn't swim for swim, because the PLA, the Port of London Authority, said that we couldn't go near the water. So we could only run across Vauxhall Bridge. That was as close as we could get to the Thames water. So since then, tracing the Walbrook River, we actually made it down to the Thames, and we could touch the water and connect with some of the water only by sort of putting our hands in it or having a little paddle. But swim the Thames, I'm hoping to do in about 3 years, where 100 people will swim from south to north London under Tower Bridge, where the river is at low tide, is very short. It's a very short swim. It's called the Pool of London, which just seems like an invitation if there ever was one. It's meant to be swum. It's apparently the heart of London shipping. So it's the reason why we are in this city is because of the way the land and the water came together right here, and that's the heart of it. And what I'd like is for shipping traffic to stop for an hour to let the human traffic of the city swim across and glory in our river for one hour, I think it will take, to swim across the river at the changing of the tide. So use the tide to bring your background onto Tower Beach from the south side to the north.
Okay, and what about consuming water? Is there anything in the pipeline? Oh dear, what a dreadful pun. Is there anything coming up about drinking water?
I love water puns. I love how it completely infuses all our thinking. For the bicentennial of John Snow's work about cholera, he was the man who worked out that actually cholera was waterborne, and the centre of the epidemic in Soho was the Broad Street pump. And at the moment, there is a monument of in the shape of the pump there at Broadwick Street. They've asked me to make a live work. What I've said I'd like to do is to create a water bar. So I'll set out tables and chairs and literally create a kind of cocktail bar for water, have 50, 60 different kinds of water from different sources, looking at the way we get our water, the kinds of water we drink, how we're bottling it, what are we doing, you know, what's right, wrong, you know, just talk and think about water issues, and then invite people to sit down and drink with me. You know, Broadwick Street pump, there's a and it's one of the few places in Soho where people actually have a place to sit down instead of these kind of, people seem to be getting rid of benches and putting spikes to kind of move people on in that way. If you don't want, they don't seem to want, city councils don't seem to want people just hanging around. But that really does seem to be a place that's used for, it's a sort of, bicyclists use it to stop and sit down and have a rest. And so I wanted to make the most of that street corner and really sort of offer a respite and a conversation. Other strand to that piece will be, I'll finally be able to start a collection of water that I've been, a public library of water, where people will be able to donate any water they want to in the vessel of their choice. start to build up a collection, hopefully of hundreds of different glass jars and pots of water that people would have collected from puddles, bathwater, fountains, ponds, rivers, whatever they want to donate, I would love to collect.
You're talking about having a sort of public library of different waters. Is this because you feel that we've lost touch with water, or we have a misunderstanding of our use of water? What's the desire there?
With all the pieces, what I'm trying to do is look at the way we live now in this modern life that we're living. With all my work, it's just a sort of, it's that question of how did we get here? How are we living now? And in this kind of drier life that we live in London, without all these rivers on our streets, with it, with all the water underground instead of overground, with it all piped under our streets to our loos and chlorinated and cleaned, and then actually what is that doing to our psyche? And the collection of water is something I've started for myself a while ago, but it's been something I've wanted to do on a public large scale for a long time, just to look at the way we use water now, which water we would consider valuable enough to collect, what water matters to us. Is it the start of the Fleet River at Hampstead Ponds? Would you go up there and collect a sample for future generations? Is it the fountains at Trafalgar Square? In 50 years time, will people look back at this collection and go, bath water? Baths, you know, and sort of be shocked at the profligacy of our life now. A collection to notice how we live now and how we're treating ourselves and the water around us will help us notice, you know, maybe in the future how the city has grown and how we're living.
We're on the eve of something which is called Sculpture Shock.
Yeah.
So you've been shortlisted.
I've been shortlisted for Sculpture Shock, which is it's a new award from the Royal Society of British Sculptors, and it's for a residency in Elizabeth Frink's studio next year for 3 months.
But why someone who's involved in getting people to walk or swim gets a sculptor prize?
No, I trained as a sculptor, and I've always seen what I do as a sculpture and live art. One of the things that I'm involved in is the sort of architecture of a moment, and actually I really think that what I do is to make or design or sort of organise, set up moments in time with people. So I think very much about it sculpturally and architecturally, the meeting of people in the space framed by the city. For me, it's always been sculpture as well as live art, and I'm really pleased that to have had that side of my work recognised.
This is the time when I ask you to recommend a walk or two. Is there a walk you might suggest, or a river one might follow?
I would just go to your nearest river and walk as far down it as you possibly can and see what happens.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities in London. In this episode, you've heard from Amy Sharrocks. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we'd love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.